They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining us on the Commons today is the most amazing and wonderful Dr. Gary Solomon. Gary, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Sue. The show, Sue.
Well, I always feel a little guilty just reaching out to you. You've always said you'd be there for me, and I really appreciate that. I don't want to abuse that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad that when there's something that we really need to learn and understand, mm-hmm. that you're always there for me.
And I'm here for you, Sue, and in turn, I'm here for all the people that want to listen.
And thank you so much. Well, today what we're going to talk about is confidentiality clauses.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I absolutely abhor. I don't have a problem if you and I get into a little tiff and an altercation and we go to settlement and you and I decide, all right, we're going to do this, but we're going to keep it, you know, we're going to have a confidentiality clause. We're just not going to talk about it.
Okay.
And that's what the attorneys will tell me. Oh, you have a right to do that. Yeah, you and I have a right to do that. But I've always argued that if you are in an HOA, the HOA is the only side that's going to want a confidentiality clause. And that's only because they've lost. The homeowners are so fed up that they want to stand on the top of the highest mountain and yell and scream and let the world know exactly what they've been through. So they're not going to ask for a confidentiality clause. But the thing is, when the board uses it, they use the homeowner's money to pay off the owner.
Yes.
And so there's a financial something that's, to me, that's reprehensible because you have a right to know where your money's going. So mm-hmm. there are a number of reasons to be leery of these, to refuse to do them. But Gary, I'm hearing more and more from people who are being stuck with, you know, confidentiality clauses. And recently I got an email from someone who says, this is just not helping my family. My kids know that everybody, you know, at school, all the other kids know there's a problem, but they'll never be able to talk about it and set the record straight.
Right. Right.
How does this affect families? How does it affect the individuals?
The families, the children, the relatives are all affected by it because basically they have been muted. And as a result of that muting, they cannot alleviate themselves of the pressure, the events, the concern. Additionally, and in my opinion, more importantly, the neighborhoods, whether it be the homeowners association within that neighborhood or all homeowners associations, don't get to aggregate the information such that it can be useful on a larger level, for instance, a class action lawsuit. And should that ever happen, it would be very disruptive to the homeowners associations. The money flow would be interrupted, and things would change, but not immediately, but things would change. But your question to me was, how does it affect the family? And the answer is, there's a lot of depression. There is a lot of anxiety. There is a lot of angst about what's going on and how it's taking place, and what about their rights, and what about freedom. And this really causes people to question, where are they living? Not just in the association, but in what country? And we have, in fact, created these small countries that, in turn, mute the individuals living in the neighborhoods so that they cannot talk about it, which in turn adds more pressure than originally existed when they were dealing with the problem.
You have written extensively about the effects on our physical being and how we get physically sick with a lot of the diseases that are now all over the place. But is this sort of a precursor to taking us from depression to stress to all of that? Is that going to take us into the physical aspect where it's going to affect us physically?
Absolutely. And the big problem is the individuals who are dealing with this don't know that the reason that they're having a physical manifestation, they don't know its origin. And so suddenly they wake up one morning and they have back pain. They wake up and their concentration is off and continues to be off. The origin of this is most likely the events that took place with respect to the HOA, because there aren't these events going on in their lives in other areas. That is, they're allowed to speak. The mute is off in other areas. And so with that, all of this manifests itself into a physical manifestation, a wide variety of problems that can be short-term and can be very long-term. And may not go away.
What about the kids, Gary? You know that I've always been concerned about the kids growing up in this environment. What happens to them? What are the emotional tolls that they take?
Well, I have theorized this, and so I would warn you and warn your audience that this is a theory, and in fact, I've not proven this. But the children live within the environment of the stress, and they know what's causing the stress. And with that, they are angry at the people that caused it. And it is my belief that as time passes, this stress will manifest itself into retaliation against the homeowners and the association when these children grow older. I believe there could be a gang outcome to this. And as the gang comes together and they talk, they want to go after these people. And so the idea that the children would grow up with such rage, such hatred, is an enormous problem.
But what would, all right, how does it affect them as children? I can understand later on as they get older when they start being able to process what happened and put together some kind of a story that makes sense to them. What happens to them as children? Maybe a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, how does it affect them when they go to school and all the other kids go, you're bad, your parents are bad, your parents did this, your parents did that? Probably what they did was they picked the wrong shade of white to cover, to paint their trim. Something as idiotic as that.
Right.
But how does it affect them growing up?
It affects them as a result. It will turn into worry. It will turn into guilt. It will turn into problems in communication with other children on the schoolyard, let's say, or in the neighborhood, let's say. And with that, that grows, and it takes on a life of its own. So the children themselves begin the process of dealing with this, which I believe ultimately will become rage. If we look at other examples, and I'm going to create a radical example for the audience, but let us assume that we have someone in the Second World War who grew up with what was going on against the minorities, the Poles, the Jews, and so on. Those children observed this. And those children saw it. And when they got older, they fought back, not singularly, but rather in groups. I see the same thing happening here. There is a reason to come together. There is a reason to get people on board, to retaliate. And it's not going to be a letter in the mail. It's going to be vandalism. It's going to be causing damage to the homes of these people that caused the problem for the family. It's not going to be as simple as a letter saying, why did you do this?
Is it going to be just direct? Is this rage going to be just directed at the board members who have caused these problems for them and their families now? Or is that rage just going to go all over the place? I mean, it sounds like a pressure cooker that's about ready to explode.
It definitely is, and I believe the rage goes all over the place. There is confusion as the child grows older. They're not exactly sure who they should go after. And so the rage can take place against someone walking on the street. Someone on the schoolyard, some business where there is a service to be rendered and they choose not to pay for it. It won't be as simple as just the angry child. And it's going to become difficult when that family has children in it, not just a child, but children in it. And now those children are all acting out in a different way. And the parents' confusion is, what's going on here? What's happened here? Now, if it were me, if I were running these HOAs, I would suggest putting together groups that meet. Not just HOA meetings, but rather support groups for the individuals who are going through this. And I think people would find that more and more people want to try and talk about this, do something about it, see if they can eliminate the stress on the family, specifically the children.
How about just stripping the HOAs of the powers that allow them to cause all these problems?
Of course, that's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate goal.
Would that take away all of this stuff? All of the bad stuff?
Yes, absolutely. Because now the family has a place to go with it. They have something they can do about it. They can state their piece. They can show that they won the battle. But right now, the HOA doesn't want to have anything to do with anybody knowing that there has been a loss. And I myself have gone through several of those cases where I had to sign a confidentiality agreement before they gave me the check.
And they won't drop the case until you sign it. And,
that is correct.
And they, all right, what's the answer in that case, Gary? What's the answer in that case? Since you've been through it and I haven't. I know that usually they'll say if there is a leak, if you discuss it, then you will owe us all this money back again, and you will owe us penalties and all kinds of other things. And that's part and parcel of the agreement, the gag order.
Yes.
But when you've got you, and then you've got the HOA, and there may be a 3-member board, a 5-member board, a 9-member board, as is in my association, you're going to have the manager, you're going to have the recording secretary, you're going to have the attorney, maybe some of the attorney's people. So you've got a whole slew of people sitting around there on that site.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of the details come out, they're going to come after you. And you're the only person with no proof that the leak occurred from you. There's no guarantee that some board member didn't go to the local pub and get inebriated and start bragging about what they did,
mm-hmm.
and letting that out.
Well, in my opinion, Shu, the boards themselves over the last probably 4 years have been stripped of their power. And now that's been taken over by law firms. And those law firms are uniting nationally. They're taking on the position of, we will go after anybody for anything to make a buck. And so you have the lawyer or law firms that are really the HOA board. And the HOA board is being dictated to. Now, the board themselves may not want to do this, or they may not feel that it's right or fair, but by the time the law firm is done with them, they're talked into it, and that's that.
I think there's
and
so
more
much
and more, the more and more the law firms are taking over.
It's funny because last week I had an attorney who, J.D., she's an attorney, but she lost her license because she was talking out. And she talked about that very thing on this very show. And she talked about the attorneys giving advice that ultimately benefits the law firm.
Yes.
They're creating these situations. And the interesting thing is, if you go to court, all of that is open unless you convince a judge that you need to seal it. And there's no need to seal it. I mean, a judge is not going to say, oh, you want to hide your misdeeds? No, I don't think we're going to seal that. So they do it by going into these private settlements.
Yes.
Oh, we agreed. We went into this. And so blah, blah, blah. So here we go.
Right.
And they're getting away from it. So how about insisting that you go to court? How about insisting that everything is out in the open?
Chu, I would say people are exhausted from this. Communities are exhausted. I see it in my community. I have watched it evolve to this complacent, acquiescent a group of homes and families where they turn their back on everything as it relates to what the HOA is doing to a person or people. And they simply don't hear, don't speak, don't tell.
The three monkeys, huh?
The three monkeys. And that's the attitude that they have, and that's the position that they take. And to me, it is remarkably embarrassing. I'm going to tell you a little side story, if I may.
Please.
That has begun to emerge. I get more and more calls from across the country now. I get them from large communities and small communities. And the call will come in, and there's this kind of, please help.
Yeah.
I will tell you, Shu, I don't ignore anyone. I don't ignore anyone. If a call comes in and it's been a message has been left, I will return that call. And now, much to my amazement, the reaction at the other end is, oh, you're a god. You're a hero. You are someone who people talk about as a legend. And now I'm talking to you. Now, I never had this thought in my mind, ever. But it happens more and more now. And that statement is thematic with these people. They will make these utterances. And in turn, what's happened is they turn around and they tell their friends, you'll never guess who I talked to. You'll never guess who took the time to talk to me. And that really has amazed me. I would not have thought or imagined in my life that my work would have evolved to that level of a feeling. But people are now spending the time to write, to read all the articles, all of the YouTube videos that are online. People are watching, and they're talking about, and no one can stop me. The HOA in Connecticut can't stop me from saying something. This is just what I think. But that, what I think, is making an application to what's happening to that homeowner, and that they can talk about.
They can talk about that.
They can say.
You know, it boggles my mind when I think about the number of people that I have talked to. There's a co-op in New Jersey, and the members are not allowed to get together and discuss politics of the co-op. They can get together and they can collect proxies for the board. They can do all of that stuff, but they're not allowed to get together. They're not allowed to talk. There was a story, an article, a number of years ago out of Florida, where a bunch of older people, older gentlemen would get together and meet on somebody's front porch and just talk. And the HOA banned that. You're not allowed to congregate. You're not allowed to talk to your neighbors. You're not allowed to do this. Yet they're trying to convince us that they've got a community, that this is a community, but they'll do everything they can to destroy it. But the thing, it doesn't surprise me, the reaction you're getting. I've been getting the same thing for a long time. We are the only people out there for these homeowners. I mean, there's nowhere for them to turn. Nowhere. Yes. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand what's going on.
And more attorneys are closing the door at the entrance to the law firm, and I'm referring now to hiring an attorney to take the case against the board. They're saying, I don't do that. We don't do that here. You'll have to go someplace else. And as that happens, the individual homeowner is left stripped of all power.
Right.
Stripped of all retort or all response in relation to what's going on. And that is getting worse.
Yeah, that is. And I've seen the HOA industry attorneys. They will, if somebody takes a case to court and wins against the HOA, and it's a big win, they will be all over that attorney like a bad, ill-fitting shirt, they'll just be right there with them saying, oh, you don't have to try and figure this all out. Come join us. We will help you. We will work with you. I mean, they're really sweet and sticky sweet. And they just want to bring them in and bring them under the umbrella and control them.
Right.
Control them and tell them what they can and cannot do. Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't argue that.
So, we have created really a nightmare for ourselves. And to compound things, and as you are aware, the United States has mandated that communities cannot be built anymore with individual homes without an HOA.
Actually, I think that's local municipalities. I don't think the U.S. will do that, but local municipalities do that, and the reason for that is because it gives them free tax dollars.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, oh, you've got, Mr. Developer, if you think you're going to build those houses, you're not going to get your permits unless there's an HOA there, because we're just not going to approve it. But homeowners, buyers, guess what? You're going to pay us taxes, but you're going to pay for those services again.
Yes, yes. Double taxation.
Double taxation.
And what I see coming, and I can't say that I'm aware of an individual case at this time, but I do see the cities going into the communities and dividing up, sectoring out X number of houses in the neighborhood and calling it the Bay HOA. And then the next neighborhood all over will be sectored out, and it's called the CHOA, whatever it is. And now the coffers get fuller and fuller with the double taxation being paid by all these people who never wanted to move into an HOA in the first place.
That happened in Las Vegas was it Henderson? That the city came and built a wall around it and said, all right, you're now an HOA?
That is correct. That is correct.
That was a few years ago.
Yes. And what the public does not know is that wall, that physical wall, while it wasn't something that the community wanted, is put up by the city, and then the city says, you're responsible for its maintenance.
Has anyone challenged that?
I tried. It happened to me. I try to use all these experiences to build my knowledge base. And I will tell you that the cost to me for my wall that bordered the street was over $7,000. And I had to take down the wall and put it back up, as did all of my neighbors. And the city simply collected all that money to have it done. The power is extraordinary.
All right.
Human beings doing this to human beings.
It's the tail wagging the dog. The county, the city, the municipality, the government works for us, not the other way around, and we've allowed them to come in and take over, and that's got to stop.
They methodically have done this, and of course they're able to do it because they've got the money to do it. They've got the money to pay people to come on board and become the secretary and become the manager and become the over and on and on and on. But the community, there is no organization. There is no oversight. And the only place that these individuals can go is to the HOA meeting. And I'll again make a side statement right now. I am personally having a party next week in my home for the community. It's not about HOAs. It's not about coming over and complaining. It's about how about if we just come together and enjoy each other in peace. And it's the only thing that happens each year in my neighborhood of 400 homes.
So you're inviting everyone, all of the homes?
Yes. Everybody is invited, as are their families. And they may choose to come or not.
I think that's great.
We try. I can't talk about it anymore. I cannot write about it anymore. I must take action. And I know that the action is going to take a lot of time and a lot of energy. And I try to do it methodically. I try to do it peacefully. And I try to never have disparaging or negative conversations with anybody about the HOAs.
You know, Gary, I'm thrilled to hear that. I know I've talked about the Farrans a lot, and they stripped, they sued and were sued and with the HOA, and they won all the way through, and to the point where the HOA was bankrupt, and the homeowners got together, finally, after being divided, got together, amended the governing documents, stripped the board of all its powers, deleted all the covenants, did all of that, and they turned the war zone into an actual community. They have Christmas parties. They, when it snows, they get together, pass the hat, hire someone to come and plow the streets and do all of that. So it's become a real community. Yesterday from my HOA, for the first time ever, and I'm sorry, I wish I had thought about it when I was on the board 30 years ago, but they planted a tree and they're having a party. And I got an email. They said, please bring an ornament for the tree. It's going to be the community tree. And please bake some cookies or bring a dish to share. We will be providing stuff and we're going to have a party. But we want people to talk about their tradition. So it's a Christmas tree because it's big and it's symbolic and you put all kinds of things on it. But there's so many different religions and so many different holidays and traditions. And they want to hear about all of them. And they want people to come and talk about Hanukkah and talk about, you know, there's so many of them out there. And put that all together. And I thought, you know what? And I wrote to them. I said, that's absolutely a brilliant idea. Thank you for doing that. But if more people, more communities did that, then the differences would disappear. You'd get to know people as opposed to know about people?
Yes, absolutely true. And it is incredibly unfortunate that this cannot happen and does not happen because all of the communication has been locked down and has been blunted. And now no one can say anything. And in a relatively short period of time, it just goes away.
And there's so much fear. There's an incredible amount of fear. And
yes.
I think it's the fear that probably controls a lot of what's happening. People are afraid of talking. People are afraid of saying things. People are afraid that if they say something that someone doesn't like, they're going to get beaten up or, you know. And that's a shame. You never learn.
Vandalized. That property will be vandalized. We'll show you. We'll teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
I don't know about all the United States, but I can say that out here, several people have been murdered.
Yeah.
There are people imprisoned
yes.
right now for it. And there have been a number of suicides.
And it took the FBI a number of years to finally get in there and clean it up. Has it all been cleaned up?
No, it has not. It's simply so powerful that there is so much money tied to the HOAs and what has gone on that they don't want to walk away from it. And the mere fact that the FBI is standing at the door doesn't stop the board members from having their private conversations outside of the HOA meeting. And with that, more things are orchestrated and more problems are created. And this is what these people want. And I should qualify for those people who have not read my work, that the people that do this, that are on the boards, have their own psychopathology that they suffer from, that they are willing to harm their neighbors so that they may feel pleasure. And this kind of sadism is omnipresent throughout the country. Very difficult to stop because the people on the boards, that's who they are. That's what they do. That's how they do it. And no one's going to stop them because they're going to continue to do it.
Gary, you've done a lot of work on this, and with your background, your background in psychology, you're uniquely qualified to go through all this stuff and explain it and lay it out. And you've done a lot of writing. Can you tell our newer listeners how they can get to all your work? Where they can look? I know that it's on YouTube. I know you've got a website. Give us that, would you?
The easy entrance to all of these articles is to simply type HOA syndrome. And when I began writing about it, it evolved into an actual disease. And although people laughed at that at the beginning, they're not laughing at it now. And when these concepts are brought about, they're oftentimes scoffed at, but not now. So if the individual types HOA syndrome, they will reach sites, hundreds of them, that link them to various subsites that they can go to read the articles. You can print the articles. You can listen to the lectures, but there's one thing you can't do.
What's that?
You can't pay for it.
Uh-oh.
I will not allow the transfer of money to me as a result of the work that I've done. It must be something that is an eleemosynary effort, and I will keep it that way, and I'm the one controlling that.
You at one point talked about the physical aspects of all of this and being able to go to court and claim damages from the HOA. One of the things you wanted to do was to get the medical community behind you. Did that never happen, did it?
Never happened. What I wanted to do is to get the medical offices to document on their files, to open up a section, a questionnaire, do you live in a homeowners association? Are you suffering any repercussions from that? Any information that I could garner from medical offices, because they don't know that that's what they're looking at. And you'd think, how could they not know that? How could they possibly not know that? And the answer is, they don't know to ask the question. And simply because one is a doctor or one is a physician or a or does not mean they know it all, and they don't. And so these things that happen, happen, and the information is not accumulated and aggregated into one area or source. A lot of other areas are, if you want to look at the disease control or a variety of other kinds of concerns that are both local and national, that they collect. But this, they've yet to collect.
I have to tell you something, Gary, even the homeowners don't understand it. I, as a Toastmaster, often give speeches, and quite often I will talk about HOAs. It's what I know. And I feel that it's my duty to alert people of any potential laws coming down, legislation, and all of the effects, and talking to different people. And inevitably, someone will come up to me and say, "You mean some associations, Sue, don't you?" And I go, "No, I mean all associations. They've all got basically the same governing documents. They're all subject to the same laws. The same things can happen anywhere." "Oh, but it doesn't happen in my HOA. We don't have those problems." I go, "Well, I'm really happy to hear it. It doesn't always happen in all of the HOAs, but you need to be aware of it so you are not saying, 'Hey, could they do that to me?'" And he says, and I said, "So where do you live?" And locally, I mean, I know the HOAs. And I go, "But your HOA was in the news the other day, and I've heard from people from your HOA. They've called me. They've got these problems. What do you mean it doesn't happen in your HOA?" "Oh, well, I know that so-and-so down the street has a problem, and I know so-and-so has been having problems with the HOA. But, Sue, we don't have a problem with the HOA." "We don't have a problem with the HOA. You need to understand that." So there's a disconnect. I mean, and here you are. You're the psychologist. Tell me, what happens in these people's minds that we don't have a problem?
Yes, denial is a wonderful, wonderful gift given by who we are as human beings, and we pretty much get to deny everything.
So you get these people going into their primary care physicians and filling out the forms, and, "Do you live in an HOA? Yeah. Do you have any problems?" "Oh, no, we don't have any problems." I mean, that's going to skew the facts for you, isn't it?
It sure is, but it will at least be something that is collected. And with that, I can begin the process of arithmetically factoring out those particular statements and finding out which of them are passive and not true and which of them are accurate. So either way, I want the data. I can't get it.
Can you, well, is there some way we could put up a website and ask people to go there and fill out a questionnaire?
Sure, sure. I mean, that's something that can be done, and I invite people to do it. It is something, I believe, Shu, that's going to be skewed as a result of it, because the people that go to it are the people that have the problems. And so they are going to paint a picture that is amplified by what happened to them and who they are and where they are and so on. But if it's collected by a medical community, then I don't have to worry about it being skewed.
I see. Okay. I get the point. But I also know some of these homeowners, and I'm not sure that you're going to get. I don't know. Knowing some of the people that have come up to me and said, "Oh, you don't mean me. I mean, I'm very happy. I have never had a problem." And it's always personal, you know?
Yes. Yes.
And therefore, we don't have a problem. That guy down the street, yeah, well, he's a scofflaw. You got to expect it from him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's very unfortunate. You would think we would have learned that lesson long ago. But we have not. There is a word that is not an English word. It's a German word called Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
And I will speak of this from time to time. And that the Schadenfreude that goes on in neighborhoods where the rumors are perpetuated and the negativity and the statements and all of these comments, all of the Schadenfreude that has a life of its own. And making sure that I, myself, don't participate in that gives me great pleasure, as the pleasure is given to those who speak in Schadenfreude and get pleasure from the negativity, get pleasure from making the comments, the disparaging comments. And it's nonstop. It's nonstop.
You know, my show is in its 19th year, and it's never been about my HOA, and I don't think I've said a whole lot about my HOA. But when they come up with something that I think is a decent thing, like this Christmas party that they're putting on for the first annual Christmas party, I think is the way they explained it, I'm really happy to pass on ideas for creating, fostering more of a sense of community. So I want the happy news.
Right.
And I want to show people that you don't have to have a war zone.
Right.
To have a happy thing. I mean, I still don't like the idea that we're being double taxed. I still think that's awful. But I'm really pleased when the communities get together and work together as individuals, as opposed to having some elected board member sort of dictating what happens and how it happens.
Yes. Yes. And I don't know when it will stop, and I don't know if it will stop, but I do know that it continues on and gets worse.
So if it's going to stop, it's going to stop with us.
I'd like to believe that it's going to stop somewhere, beginning with some people like us.
So if it's going to stop,
and with that, we can go forward.
If it's going to stop, it's going to have to stop with us. If we twist things around, I don't like talking about all the problems all the time, for the simple reason that I don't want people to become desensitized.
Yes.
If you hear the same, you know, if you hear the same story, and they are the same stories, Gary, let's face it. I get calls from people, and somebody will say, "Sure, have I got a story for you? You've never heard this one." And I say, "Okay,
right.
Try me. Let's see, 500 times?" But it's not funny, but it's true.
Yes.
So if we start with the happy stuff.
My laughter may be inappropriate. It's just the
it's you've got to
calling in don't realize that these stories are so commonplace. But what's happened is that they're isolated and they don't know it.
Well, they're told that these are isolated incidents. CAI will tell you, it's just an isolated incident. So I used to do isolated incident number 5,732, isolated incident number, you know, all of them. I mean, they're not isolated incidents.
Yes.
The industry would like you to believe that they are, but they're not. And people, Gary, you've heard from a lot of people. You must have heard the same story a million times from a million different people.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I treat everyone as if it's brand new, and everyone with the sensitivity that I believe it deserves.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you, but I think there's something cathartic about knowing that they're not the only ones, that other people have also had to deal with the nonsense that they're going through.
Strength in numbers. Strength in numbers.
Yeah. It's, all right, so we're going to change the world, Gary. We're going to start right now. So we're going to start right now. So we're going to start right now. How are we going to, what's step number one?
Well, I think that we have to keep talking. Step number one is keep doing what we're doing. And when the moment arrives where the door is just ajar, just cracked open enough that we can see in, then go for it and get aggressive. But currently, we don't have anything that we can do except stay aware, stay in tune, and stay in touch.
So, wait a minute. Why stay in touch? I think we need to talk, but I think we need to focus as well on the actual cause. I think we need to educate people. They need to understand that they really didn't choose this.
That I agree.
Forced on them by local municipal governments because they want your money and they want to do whatever they want to, give themselves raises, build themselves house, you know, build themselves all kinds of things.
Sure.
And if once you understand that and get mad enough, I think we ought to go after them and say we're not, you know, that's fine. Some people are going to want to live in these things. But not everybody does. Give us an option. Give us an option. And then
And to do that, one has to have full disclosure before buying into the HOA. And that, to date, has not happened.
Well, sadly, it's not only that it's not happened, the full disclosure bit, but we're losing ground. I'll give you an example. For instance, we've got the disclosure package that is required when you sell a house. And one of the items on there is that the buyer is entitled to know whether there are any covenant violations on the house that they're buying, because so often somebody would buy a house for the deck or whatever, and as soon as they move in, the HOA comes and says, you got to take that deck down. You don't have a permit. We didn't approve it.
Yes.
So the idea behind the disclosure package was that if you buy the house and the HOA does not inform you that there is a problem, then you have a right to buy that house with confidence. Of course, apparently that's not good enough because they've come in and they've changed that. They've taken that away.
Yes.
So, you know, where you work hard and you try to get something passed and it makes sense, and then CAI comes in and starts lobbying to remove all of those protections for the housing consumer.
Yes.
And you're back where you started.
Yes.
It's a yo-yo.
Yes. It is.
Up and down, up and down, up and down. So do away with them.
Never going away. And always giving pleasure to the people on the board who are sick enough to practice this behavior.
It's never say never.
That's right.
Never say never, Gary. we will prevail ultimately, eventually, But right now, we are out of time.
Okay.
And I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Anytime, Sue. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and, you know, hear what you've got to say and answer the questions. And I'm here for you anytime.
I appreciate that. And I want to wish you again, you and Robin, a very happy anniversary. So I hope you take her out somewhere really special.
You know what? There's a brand new McDonald's in the neighborhood. We're going to do a sit-down.
Well, enjoy your McDonald's. Gary, thank you. Thank you so very much.
All right. Listen, Sue, take care and have a wonderful holiday and a great, great new year.
Thanks. You too, Gary. And I'll talk to you before then. Thanks to everyone. Bye. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect. All my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs. Life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos. Someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid. All your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone. United, we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine. And enjoy those precious golden years. Stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.